The wonderful John Legend singing All of Me, which is a great opening song for our next segment. Welcome back. Gang, we're here with Ken Howard, gay therapist to the stars.
Sometimes,
we're not going to go down as clientless. Ken, thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
It's Valentine's Day.
It is. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. And you know, it's always such a weird, it's one of those Hallmark card holidays, right?
Yes.
It's like, what does this day mean besides buying flowers and candies and cards? And for single people, like my producer here, who's darling and single, and available.
Oh my gosh, he's single?
And available, so ladies.
This day does not exist to me.
To those of us in long-term couples, to those of us in long-term thruples, to those of us who are monogamous or polyamorous, what does it all mean?
What does it all mean? Gosh, well, you know, I have a blog article that I kind of revive this time of year called Valentine's Day for Single Gay Men Coping with Hope. And I steal that from an HIV mental health conference I helped co-chair for many years, coping with the hope that things can change if we want them to. If we're single and we want to be partnered, we work toward that. And, you know, my background is, you know, I've been married now or coupled for 18 years, but I was, you know, single and an adult for many, many years in L.A. So I kind of know both sides of the single gay man's experience and the partnered or married gay man's experience. And then I use that perspective with clients on this issue because, you know, sometimes it's about with couples how to make the day special on Valentine's Day, rituals, the rituals that support a relationship over time. And I think ritual is important. And then for single guys, it's coping with, you know, Valentine's Day is the day that, you know, the frustrations of being single when you want a partner can cause loneliness because it's just so in your face.
Right.
You know, the whole day long. And I just like to suggest, you know, different ways of looking at the day, you know, that it's maybe not a day about just lovers or couples. Maybe it's a day about affection.
Hmm.
You know,
yeah.
For everybody. Maya Angelou ended up a speech one time at a conference I was at that said, you know, she said, romance is not just two lovers holding hands on a beach, that, you know, romance and the idea of a sweet affection can be when a grandmother reads a story to her grandchild, or when a parent holds their toddler's hand walking around the mall. You know, she said the romance can be any time there is a particular sweetness of love exchange between people, not just lovers.
Yeah, very good. I'm in the process. I know you're writing a musical. I'm writing a musical too.
Cool.
Yes, we're both writing musicals. And one of the songs that I've written deals with a real life friend. Her name is Pat Callahan. She's up in, she lives at the Russian River now. Uh-huh. But she and I met at the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, and it was a frosty first meeting. It was not warm and cuddly, right?
Oh,
I had no use for lesbians. This is back in the early 80s. Don't send in those nasty cards and letters. Early 80s, I had no use for lesbians. She had no use for gay men. And we developed this friendship and this relationship that has now spanned 40 years.
Wow.
And it is love in its deepest sense, because there's no physicality attached to it. There's no sex attached to it. There's no romance attached to it. But it is the deepest love that we have for one another because of the journey that we took together. And I know she feels the same way about me. I've been trying to get her on the show forever. She's like, I'm not going on your show. We got too much to talk about. But I think that's the kind of love that you are suggesting. Love doesn't have to be bound in any particular way.
Yeah, I think especially now. I mean, just this week, I think since the political stuff, Trump's acquittal, you know, it's been like a funeral home at my office with people coming in and just being depressed about it. And there's such a coarseness going on. You know, his tweets have such a coarseness. And I think it's bringing out the coarseness in people.
Mm.
And in a way, Valentine's Day runs antidotal to something like that, you know, because it's about affection, about warm fuzzies, and it's about kind of appealing to our better natures. And so this year especially, I think Valentine's Day has a historical timeliness to it.
Yeah. There was a book written, I want to say back in the 80s, about called The Gay Couple. Did you ever read it? Dr. Drew Madison and his partner wrote it.
Yeah, yeah. Madison about, and McWhorter.
McWhorter, that was it, about the various stages in gay, and I guess presumably lesbian relationships, that there was the sort of finding each other, and then there was the romance, and then there was the nesting, and then there was the settling, and then there was the compromise, and then it was to the point where after 20 years, you're kind of, okay, I'm stuck with you. whatever it was. But it was a really good, I thought, presentation, because a lot of our relationships as LGBTQ people don't fit the traditional heterosexual model that we saw on television or movies, right?
Yeah, that's one of the big things I kind of toot my own horn about being, you know, a gay men specialist therapist for 28 years now. And it's because I think you really have to know the differences in detail. I think there's a lot of straight therapists who are very, very well-meaning, but they kind of don't know what they don't know about the differences. You know, when you're talking about two women and two women's psychology entities in a household, or two or more, you know, male entities in a household, you know, what stays the same and what's different between gay and straight women, or you know, you're talking about, there's a lot of issues like with two big male egos, and especially how we're socialized. You know, two gay men are, you know, socialized being raised with male privilege, and sometimes white male privilege, and sometimes class issues, and sometimes, you know, education privilege or not. And so, you know, all of those things, issues of power and control, really come into play. I teach a course on couples therapy at USC, and yesterday we were talking about how power and control, pursuer and distancer, and dominance and submission, not in the BDSM way, but just in dynamics, that's part of couples in general. And then when you combine that, especially with my specialty working with gay men, you combine two men who've been socialized to get their way by society,
right?
It doubles it. You know, it really magnifies that. So, you know, how do two men who are the boss compromise? Because in general, you know, men aren't used to compromising. You just ask a lesbian, they're like, yeah, male privilege dominates, more so than a lot of men realize.
Yeah. And then, of course, on the other side, lesbians, I'm going to ask you, there's a lesbian couple coming on after you. There's that joke about what does a lesbian bring to a second date, right? Are you all?
Yeah.
Ready to, like, settle down and move in and spend a lifetime together. Coming up next, gang, when we come back, we're talking to Ken Howard more about the dynamic of love in our LGBTQ community here on Channel Q. A little Tammy Wynette for you, Ken. D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Stand by your man.
That's great. Tammy Wynette singing Divorce. We're talking to Ken Howard about Valentine's Day. And I think for a lot of people who are maybe out of a relationship, broken up, single, widowed, you know, this can be a really depressing day. And people feel like maybe I failed. Because I'm not coupled up.
Yeah.
What would you say to that?
You know, one more thing for, you know, gay men to feel bad about themselves about. Right? Like they needed more. Yeah, well, I kind of, you know, I'm older now, and I did a lot of reflection on my younger years when I was, you know, single and really bitter about it. And, you know, and it was kind of this existential thing. You know, Cher said, I've been rich, I've been poor, rich is better. You know, I've been single, I've been coupled. I think coupled is better. Kind of, you know, shout out to my husband, Michael. You know, but I really had to come to terms with what was going on, that, you know, my own therapy helped about, you know, why was I single for so long? Some of it's the serendipity of meeting the right person. There has to be that synchronicity of you falling in love with them at the same time they fall in love with you. And if you don't have a match, you know, you got to have a unanimous vote on having a relationship or the motion doesn't pass.
Yeah.
You know, if you get one black ball or one thumbs down, you know, the motion doesn't carry. So, but I think also guys need to be really tough on themselves. I always say, don't be tough on yourself. You know, look at your negative self-talk and change it to positive self-talk. But there is a place for confronting yourself about what's keeping you single. And that was my theory. And my mentor, Michael Chernoff in New York, wrote an article called Chronically Single Gay Men in Search of a Partner. And some of that was about you know, are you putting the priorities on the wrong thing? I have a blog article called Dating Mistakes about, you know, putting the emphasis on cash, connections, and something else that begins with a C. And
okay, I figured it out.
You know, for size screens. You know, because I think if you want a relationship for the wrong reasons of, oh, this guy can do something for my career, or, oh, this guy will keep me from, you know, having to work for a living, or, oh, this guy is, you know, gifted somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's that might matter in the very, very short term and for kind of very superficial values, but it doesn't endure. You know, that's not going to take you into, you know, being the old couple on the beach holding hands in your 80s kind of thing. So, you know, I think you have to have the right priorities. In my case, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't like my parents' relationship. My father dominated my mother, and I didn't like that. And I think I kept myself single because I didn't want to repeat my parents' relationship. Mm. And I've kind of helped guys with that since then about, are you unconsciously avoiding relationships because you don't want to repeat your parents' relationship, or because you don't want to be held accountable, in a sense, to a partner? You don't want to make, you know, a commitment. Even in non-monogamy, you still have to have a sense of a series of contracts and commitments. Mm. Are you afraid of responsibility? Do you feel fundamentally unworthy? These are all things that therapy can help uncover. Is that, you know, maybe you're single because there's some stuff going on for you unconsciously that you're really not addressing, or you're really not aware of. Hmm. And then I think for other guys, it's, I want to ask people out and I can't because I'm dealing with shyness or social anxiety. And then we look at how cognitive behavioral therapy helps people with true social anxiety and, you know, self-consciousness and, you know, the skills. You know, it takes social skills to go up to a guy in a bar or to send a message on an app or something like that. And the fear of rejection. And we have to reframe rejection from being catastrophic to being only mildly, momentarily inconvenient.
Right, right. You know, this whole construction of love and marriage, it's a 20th century construction. Because prior to the 20th mm-hmm. century, marriage was about property. Women didn't necessarily marry the person they loved. It was an arrangement mm-hmm. or about money or mm-hmm. property. And the whole idea of romantic love and marriage is something that culturally got created in the last century.
Yeah.
And including,
especially in L.A.
Especially in L.A. And especially for LGBT people, because as you described, some people came from households that, you know, it was not a great model for yeah. love and happiness.
Yeah.
And so trying to figure out how to create our own. And I think what comes up for a lot of gay men in relationship is the idea of monogamy. You know,
yeah.
do I want to be monogamous with my partner like my parents were or were supposed to be?
Yeah, right.
Or is there something more pragmatic about, you know, not being monogamous but being truthful or honest?
Exactly. Yeah, I've done a lot of work, you know, in my process of becoming a certified sex therapist. We've worked a lot in that curriculum on consensual non-monogamy. And, you know, the research kind of shows that the duration and the levels of reported satisfaction are very similar in monogamous and non-monogamous relationships. There's no one relationship style that is demonstrably superior to the other. I think it's what works for that couple, even mm-hmm. if it doesn't work for their friends or around them. You know, it's, they have a right to create the relationship that they want based on carefully negotiated contracting and series of agreements.
Mm, that's awesome. We've got just a few seconds here left. Ken, if people want more information about you, your practice, you have a website?
Yes, I do. The website is gaytherapyla.com, and I see people in my office in Los Angeles and also anywhere in the world. I have clients in France and London and Sydney, we do that on Skype or FaceTime. But gaytherapyla.com is kind of where it all starts. They can message me or text me or whatever if they
Wonderful.
Want to do some work.
And since I married you and Michael
in 2008,
many years ago,
you performed as mayor of the city of West LA.
Yes, please send my love to your husband, Michael. Gang, by the way, Michael Ryan is gorgeous. So is Ken. They're both gorgeous. Gang, coming up next, we'll be talking to two couples, young and old, two genders, about love in 2020 here on Channel Q.